Chapter 1
Mommy!
Rose Larrabee braces herself as her 3-year-old rushes toward her across the toy-strewn floor of the daycare center. The place is nearly deserted, as it always is at this hour, with only Leo and one remaining adult on the premises. She smiles as her son bounds toward her, a miniature Olympic runner executing hurdles, tinker toy skyscrapers, and precariously stacked wooden blocks. Hi, sweetie. She winces as Leo throws himself into her arms with blunt force, slamming his wiry 3-year-old body painfully against her ribcage. He greets her this way every afternoon when she arrives to pick him up from toddler time. The relief of having him safely in her arms again is well worth the impact against her fragile chest with its telltale scar. Rose buries her face in Leo's light brown hair, inhaling the sweet smell of him, a hint of peanut butter mingling with the distinct scent of Play-Doh. She smiles when she strokes his head, her fingertips encountering a matted straw-like clump. Did you get grape jelly in your hair again at lunchtime, Leo?
Nope.
He tilts his head away from her and shakes it vehemently. Are you sure? She strokes the sticky patch.
Yep.
He's sure that it wasn't grape jelly.
Greg Silva grins, coming up beside them.
It was strawberry.
Rose smiles at Toddler Time's newest employee. He's quite the literal kid. She leans forward to set Leo on his feet.
Aren't they all? Greg chuckles. We thought strawberry jam would be fitting since Valentine's Day is this week.
Valentine's Day. Oh, Lord. Rose forgot all about it, and it's tomorrow. She already bought both kids their boxes of cards to hand out at school, thank goodness. She gets a 15% employee discount on everything at the bookstore, including stationery. Of course, Jenna grumbled about the generic cards Rose picked out for her, but Leo was perfectly content with the construction vehicle theme on his Valentine's. Bulldozers, dump trucks, cement mixers. These days, he's into anything that digs and or has anything to do with dirt. Watching Greg reach down to deftly fasten the top button on Leo's miniature navy and teal striped rugby shirt, Rose is struck by renewed surprise that this grown man, single, 30-ish, childless, has such a way with kids. Greg has only been employed as a daycare provider for a few weeks. Toddler Time's overly chatty director, Candy Adamski, told Rose that he recently moved here to Eastern Long Island. He has a degree in elementary education, and he's going to be working here while he attends graduate school at Stony Brook in the evenings to finish his master's degree.
I thought it would be nice to have a male staff member, Candy said, and added with a meaningful expression, especially for boys like Leo.
Rose cringed, though she didn't resent the implication. Yes, boys like Leo. Boys without daddies need positive masculine role models. And women like Rose, young widowed mothers, should be grateful for any opportunity to expose their sons to men like Greg Silva. But that doesn't mean she will ever get used to the fact that her children are no longer part of a normal family. A two-parent family, all living under one roof. All living. Daddy, mommy, sis, and brother. Perfect. It was all so perfect. How could she never have realized it then? How could she have wasted so much time worrying about trivial things? To think that she used to fret about paying $5 extra each month for a premium cable channel, and the fact that Peking Panda refused to substitute hot and sour soup for wonton with the $4.95 luncheon special. To think that she actually used to skip her usual workout at the gym whenever she had cramps from her period, or that she complained about the pain that lingered for weeks when she strained her back during kickboxing class. To think that she yelled at Sam when he forgot to take off his muddy shoes at the back door, or ate Ben and Jerry's chubby hubby directly from the pint, or forgot to call and let her know if he was going to be late coming home. Why didn't she thank God every single day that he came home? Why didn't she appreciate every blessed day that she could get out of bed with pain that was merely a minor inconvenience and not a threat to her life?
Why didn't she revel in simple indulgences, takeout food and movies on cable and countless other everyday treats she could no longer afford?